1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Some news to report we did not get to yesterday on the broadcast. We are going to get into the special election as well. I know a lot of people are talking about that. So if you have thoughts on the political race, which I think is has 400 or 500 votes right now. And it's interesting because a district that's not going to exist in the next election cycle, which is in 2018. So by the time the challenges to the election, it'd be very interesting to see if they ever get seated. But even if they do, again, it's a district that is changing completely. So we'll get into that specifically with Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. But a big news to report, and we did not get into all of it yesterday as it was breaking, is the House Intelligence Committee has concluded their report on the Russia investigation. And so, and this actually follows the Senate Intelligence Committee has announced that they're also very close to concluding their investigation into the Russia issue. They've issued a one-pager. There's a 150-page report coming along with this, so that will be more comprehensive. It has to go through a review process. What it's found is what we expected, which is that, yes, Russia was up to no good things, but there was no collusion at all between the campaign. And now you're starting to see Democrats spin this into another issue. Now it's not about that anymore. It's about other issues. And so they're obviously on the committee. The Democrats are opposing this. Let me go to Than Bitt in Washington, D.C. Than, with the House Intelligence Committee announcing this, and then the Senate Intelligence Committee, which has not been as controversial, also announcing that they are close to wrapping up their investigation. And again, they're not getting that's a more bipartisan committee, the way that stayed in the Senate. How big of a deal is this in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think it's significant for maybe one reason that you didn't even get to there, Jordan. And first of all, I think the conclusion that there was no collusion with Russia, I mean, that has consistently come out of the leadership of both of these committees for some time, including the Senate Intelligence Committee. The chairman there, Richard Burr, has said that he has not seen any evidence of that. So that piece is really not so new, even though the mainstream media is making that their headline. To me, Jordan, the most interesting piece in this one-pager is what the committee is saying about what the investigation did reveal. They are saying that they need to do more oversight because they do see evidence of problematic unmasking. And what have we talked about on this many times, this broadcast many times? The FISA abuse. So, Jordan, I think the most significant thing here is wrapping up this investigation will free up resources in both of these committees, but specifically now in the House side, to focus on some of those abuses. And I think rightly so. We have seen rampant abuses, and this committee really needs to focus their resources on those abuses that we do have evidence of.
Yeah, I mean, so again, the one-pager, we'll go through that again as we get deeper into the broadcast. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'd like to get your thoughts, too, on the political race, the special election. People are talking about that as well. Logan, tell people how to get involved in the show today.
Yeah, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us broadcasting live right now on social media, facebook.com/JaySeculo, and also on Jordan Seculo's Twitter and Periscope. You can get your comments in that way as well. I'll be taking some of those during the show. But again, 1-800-684-3110.
We do have some news, too, on Pastor Andrew Brunson imprisoned in Turkey. Turkey has moved to a indictment, their prosecutor, of a 35-year prison sentence for Pastor Brunson. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Obviously, the vacancy at the State Department, important to fill and important to fill quickly with Mike Pompeo, the nominee for that, who's already been confirmed as CIA director, to get him in there. To get that top-level State Department staff. So we'll talk about that as well. Again, a 35-year charge against a prison sentence indictment proposed by a prosecutor against Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. We'll talk about that. We've got our matching challenge at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As we just announced, there is some breaking news on Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is the Turkish pastor imprisoned in Turkey, the American pastor, because of his Christian faith. It became an issue of politics and political pawn between Turkey trying to make him into a political pawn with the United States. We saw a lot of action. Obviously, this is something with a NATO ally that you should be able to negotiate behind the scenes, his release and return at a minimum to the United States. So not asking to stay in Turkey, even though he spent 23 years of his life there without any issue working on his ministry. And so this issue, again, I just want to make clear to everybody that there's been a prosecutor in Turkey who's filed an indictment that includes up to 35 year imprisonment punishment for the crimes alleged against Pastor Brunson. And that indictment is now before court in Turkey. They have 15 days to make a decision about the indictment. That can come sooner. We have seen in the past where this is obviously something that was kind of, it feels like it was rushed in the last 24 hours, so probably was coming down from the top in the Turkish government. They've made demands on the U.S. government, which are absurd. And we need, again, action at our U.S. State Department. We need to get Mike Pompeo confirmed sooner rather than later, because it's not just Secretary Tillerson, who technically he resigns at the end of the month, but he's gone.
Right.
So he's no longer important. His deputies are also gone. So
kind of clean
very
house
top
in general.
People at the State Department are not there. And because of that, we need to get our Secretary of State confirmed, because we know dealing with the normal bureaucracy there, the day-to-day folks, they don't like disturbing their kind of what they've got going on. They've been helpful in this situation, but it's going to take negotiations from the very top. I mean, Than, you've been working with the vice president's office with Pastor Brunson's situation. We've worked with the White House. But it's going to take that top-level negotiating and a very committed State Department. As we believe, someone based the Secretary of State, new Secretary of State, will have to kind of take a lead, but also assign someone very high level to handle this negotiation with Turkey and the back and forth exchange, because it's not a country we have such a difficult diplomatic relation with, though it's certainly gotten more strained in recent years.
There's no question about it, Jordan. I mean, this has been a difficult one to litigate, both for on-the-ground legal purposes and from an advocacy standpoint, because that file has been sealed. And so it hasn't been – we haven't been able to advocate on the level that really we need to. And I would just say this on the advocacy side of it. You mentioned Secretary Pompeo's confirmation, and I think that is going to be absolutely critical in this process. Jordan, I'm a little concerned because the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, said that the hearing was going to happen, quote, in April sometime. Well, look, the Senate is out of session the first week of April. That means he wouldn't even have his hearing till the second week of April, likely not reported out of committee till the end of April, maybe on the floor in May. Jordan, I don't think that's quick enough. I think that that Mike Pompeo has had a hearing in the Senate very recently, and quite frankly, they ought to put that hearing on the committee's calendar for next week. That way, when they come back at the beginning of April, they're able to move it forward. So I would like to see them move quicker on that, and I think it has a real-life impact on Pastor Brunson's case.
Yeah, I think that this, again, there is a major vacancy in our top diplomatic post. There have been a lot of vacancies that were not moved on in the last 14 months as well in the lower-level diplomatic post. But what I think is most important here is that if we're talking about May, even though Secretary Tillerson announced me yesterday, said he technically serves to the end of March, he's not reporting for duty. His deputies are not reporting for duty. So you've got, again, you have the bureaucracy of the State Department operating without the political appointees taking the lead. And I think that is where we run into difficult issues. One, because to make decisions on a top level negotiation with a country like Turkey and the relationship that exists there, you're not going to be able to handle that through the folks at kind of the secondary level of the State Department. Nothing against them or their careers, but they're not going to be able to make those calls because it's going to take the top level folks. And again, we see the vice president's office stepping in, the president's office stepping in, but it is ultimately a diplomatic negotiation that takes place. And it would normally be the State Department taking the lead through the Secretary of State. It's not acceptable, again, to have this situation go into May without leadership at our State Department with Pastor Brunson's situation. But think about the issues, North Korea, Syria. I mean, you really can't underscore even what happened in the UK with Russia, which we can get into the broadcast too, with that chemical attack and very tough commentary coming out of Russia, out of the UK, expelling diplomats from Russia, but it could go further than that. So we're going to take, again, we can take your phone calls on all these issues, 1-800-684-3110. I do want your thoughts on the special election last night. Do you believe that was a referendum on the president? Do you think it was an anomaly that the election was very close? Maybe the Democrats, I think, underperformed a little bit. They were talking at some point of a 3-1 victory. That was not the case. It's within hundreds of votes. There's not been an official winner declared. They have the absentee ballots coming through. So we'd love to take your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. Look, we've got our matching challenge, too, online at aclj.org. Walk people through that.
That's right. If you give on aclj.org right now, all you have to do is go to aclj.org. You'll see directly on the right-hand side of your screen a way to donate. Whenever you donate, someone else who's already committed to it will then match your donation. So say you donate $20. Theoretically, that's $40. Not theoretically, it actually becomes $40, not an extra $20 to you. Someone else matches that. So, and that goes on and up and up and up. So that could be $1. It could be all the way up as high as you'd like to give. It's a great way. And we do these, you know, every so often throughout the year. And we get people together to help match all of these gifts. So have your match doubled today through our matching challenge. You can find out more about that at aclj.org.
All right, so let's go back to the House Intelligence Committee issuing their one-page report so far. It's kind of a summary. They have ended their investigation and concluded their investigation into the Russia issue. And again, we can take your phone calls to this, 1-800-684-3110. There's been this kind of partisan pushback in the last 24 hours, not so unexpected. But we've also gotten news, and I think it has to be underscored, that on the tails of this committee announcing its conclusion into the Russia investigation and finding no collusion whatsoever between, after doing many interviews, bringing people before the committee, government officials, former campaign officials, they found no collusion. They did it fine and walked through. Of course, there were these Russian cyber attacks. There were some of these troll farms operating. That was, again, no secret. Those were being reported on as far back in the New York Times in 2015 on these facilities. So it was not so covert. There is a longer report being put together that has to go through all those approval processes before it's made public. But the one pager has found, again, there were Russian active measures directed against the 2016 U.S. election and our European allies, a kind of a focus on how the U.S. government responded to that attack, because it was not made public by the Obama administration in a real serious way. And now they kind of make it out to be a big deal. You see the former officials doing that, but they weren't doing that initially. They didn't kind of take this to the American people. There's 40 initial findings in the report. It does detail these kind of Russian cyber attacks between 2015 and 2016, the troll farms as well on social media, but also that the Obama administration had a lackluster response to this. So that, I go back to maybe they weren't taking it seriously, because we're talking about Twitter bots. And as influential as you can say people like the president made Twitter with the announcements, it's still not the kind of social media platform that is swaying the U.S. electorate. I mean, and that's what you've heard from everyone, is that no one can come to that conclusion because you're not reaching enough people. I mean, when you put it all out through how the Electoral College works, you're not reaching enough people to sway the election that way. So that was one of the findings, again, that the Obama administration did not do enough. There's issues on the leaks. How did the dossier come about, specifically there as well? How the anti-Trump research in the dossier made its way from Russia to the Clinton campaign. So there were Russian operatives being paid to get this information through a different firm. So that has come about, and there are also recommendations. So they're taking it seriously. Election security, U.S. response needs to be stronger to these cyber attacks, more finance transparency in campaigns, and counterintelligence as it relates to campaign activity. Specifically here, the Obama administration knew about this, and they are being criticized for their response. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you that the House Intelligence Committee has wrapped up this report at 1-800-684-3110? Logan, people can get involved on Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. Join us right now. We're broadcasting live. ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo. Periscope, just search for Jordan Seculo, broadcasting on his today as well as on Jordan Seculo on Twitter. You can give us a call. Phone lines are open right now if you want your voice heard on our myriad of topics today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll take some of the comments as well coming up in the break. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to the special election. We haven't discussed that too much yet out of Pennsylvania last night. It was one of those elections everybody thought, because the way it reports, we'd know who won very quickly. And there was a lot of news media, multiple media outlets reporting that. And it came in very fast. And it came in very fast, showing that there was only hundreds of votes separating the Democrat and the Republican. The Democrat, interesting enough, if he is to get seated, ran as such a conservative. I mean, I'll go to Than Benton, Washington, D.C. I would hope that he makes good on that, Than, and that this would be somebody that we could work with.
I will be willing to wager, Jordan, that does not happen. And you know what? Here's why. If he comes and the House Republicans remain in the majority, there may be a few votes on the life issue and maybe some Second Amendment-related votes that he might vote with Republicans. But, Jordan, the very first vote that he is going to cast when a new session sits is for Speaker of the House. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be voting for either Speaker Pelosi or maybe, you know, if Steny Hoyer challenges Nancy Pelosi, he's going to be voting for the Democrat candidate for Speaker. And you know this better than I do, but on issues of life and related issues, that is the very most important vote that he will cast. So I do think it's interesting that the Democrats had to campaign someone as a conservative to win a district like this. But I've seen it time and time again. There are many Democrats who campaign as a conservative. I have yet to see one in recent years who governs as a conservative, Jordan.
Yeah, they don't really follow through. And that's been a big issue, is they kind of run this way, hope that people aren't paying attention. They make the easy votes, like you said, that when it's not coming down to, kind of one or two votes, where they're not being basically whipped into it by their party to vote a certain way. But again, this was an interesting one, because in the Democrat primary right now, you would not think someone like this would even make it through the primary process, but there wasn't a primary process. So it was kind of a unique. People are making a bigger deal about it than I think should be, because I don't believe this is going to be what most Democrat candidates look like. I mean, Than, the idea that this will be the kind of person that can get through primaries, even in more purple districts, it's just not very believable right now, considering where the Democrat Party has moved.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. And you mentioned the first one earlier in the broadcast. I mean, this district isn't even going to exist when the election rolls around. So the demographics are going to change. But the other thing, Jay, Jordan, this was really a Donald Trump district, not so much a Republican district. I mean, the electorate there is something around R10 or R11, but it was Donald Trump plus 20. So a lot of people are saying, look, it went from Republican plus 20 to even. I don't think that's accurate, Jordan. I think Donald Trump won a lot of Democrats in that district. So it turned something from what people are reporting as an R10 to really a very purple, very close district. And then again, you know this dynamic as well. Anytime you're in the midterm, anytime you're in the special election, you have to take these results with a grain of salt. It becomes a much different thing when it's not a nationalized election.
Yeah, and I would say, too, in this race, I mean, they were bad. This was not good optics. I mean, the reason this election happened, I don't want to get into all the details, was because of a resignation by a Republican who had won and basically run unopposed for more than a decade. So, again, it was one of those districts. It was an easy win, but there was a scandal involved. And when you have that issue, I think it depresses the vote for the party that the scandal hit, these individuals. And, again, I don't believe that the Democrats, though I think it'd be smart for them to push through more candidates like this, because they probably have a better chance in suburban districts and areas like this, similar to that Pennsylvania district. But I don't believe they can get through the primary process in the normal situation. So, again, we can take your phone calls on that if you have thoughts on the political outcomes there at 1-800-684-3110. I do want to get back to Pastor Brunson. So we've got an update. That's going to go up on aclj.org while we're on the broadcast. And this is specific. So people have been asking through Facebook and Periscope, what has happened? Is there actual formal charges against Pastor Brunson? Let me remind you, if you're just joining us or if you're a newer listener to the broadcast, Pastor Brunson is an American pastor who served for 23 years in Turkey. His family grew up there. His children grew up there. Has not had issues before with the Turkish government, even as a Christian pastor, and then was targeted during the crackdown when the Turkish government has made this kind of shift and focused in on anyone that's not walking in line. It's become more Islamist as well. So you've got that more of an Islamist hard line being pushed by the Turkish president. And then you've got the crackdown that was going on, that failed coup, all those issues. So Pastor Brunson, we believe, was caught up in that situation. But as an American citizen, obviously, profile raised more than just someone in Turkey who is a Turkish citizen. And Turkey has tried to make this a political pawn issue. We get into the details in our blog, but let me make it simple for everybody. The prosecutor in this situation, so local prosecutor handling this case on Pastor Brunson, has filed an indictment that includes prison sentences up to 35 years. So these are long-term prison sentences and serious charges being leveled against Pastor Brunson. The way it works in Turkey, that indictment will go before court. The court then has to approve the indictment in the next 15 days. They could act sooner. I mean, this could come tomorrow from the courts. What we have said, which is very important here, is that we've got a major vacancy at the State Department. Right. We don't have the leadership there, Logan. We've got to work. I think what is most important and effective is not going to be relying so much on the Turkish legal system, that we'll see how much pressure these judges are getting to approve what are very bogus charges. And I think they know this, but these judges have been replaced by allies of the executive leadership in Turkey. But we have a major vacancy in our top diplomat now.
That's right.
And his deputies.
And a lot of people are asking about that. Who do they need to sort of petition, essentially? Who do they need to tell to get involved in this situation? Well, people are saying, it's Nikki Haley, is Vice President Pence. Who's actually can go in and help handle this situation?
And so we've seen, I mean, it's not one of those situations then where we're not getting the attention on it from our government officials. We have not had that issue with the Trump administration. It has been kind of, I think where the issue has been is that we've got the White House engaged through the president's office, the vice president's office engaged, but the State Department having to take the lead, it wasn't really coming through there clearly. And I think a lot of that had to do with when you don't have your number threes and fours in place at the State Department. There were a lot of vacancies there, and Secretary Tillerson was kind of operating on a bare minimum staff. You may not have the people, Than, where you can assign one senior-level person to say, you need to handle this. For us, report directly to the Secretary of State, who then reports directly to the President of the United States.
Well, especially, Jordan, going back to what you said, I mean, President Erdogan made this political himself. So at the highest levels of the Turkish government, this has become a political issue. And we're fighting with one arm tied behind our back if we don't have the highest political levels of our State Department staffed up. Again, the White House, the President, the Vice President have been very good on this. I would call on the Chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to not push off this hearing for a month, Jordan. That's really where we need to start.
Yeah, we need to get quicker action here. We come back from the break. We will take more of your comments on this, phone calls as well. And I think we'll get into more of this specific issue with Pastor Brunson. Logan, tell people how to get involved.
That's right. If you don't get the second half hour of JSecul Live, you can find us broadcasting online, aclj.org, facebook.com/JSecul, Periscope and Twitter at JordanSecul today. And if we do lose you here, make sure you pick us up later on archived on the ACLJ app and the JSecul Live podcast. Be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Thanks for joining us for our second half hour. Let me update you on a couple of issues. If you're just joining us on the broadcast, we are about to post at ACLJ.org an update on American pastor Andrew Brunson, who is in prison in Turkey for over a year. This imprisonment began October 7th of 2016. It has been a diplomatic up and down where there were situations where it looks very close to a resolution and then has not come forward. Recently, a team of our ACLJ attorneys and Pastor Brunson's daughter were at the United Nations speaking out to this, so to the world community. But as we saw in these last 48 hours, we've seen a change now at the State Department coming, but a vacancy there. And we've had a lot of engagement through the Trump administration and through Vice President Pence's office, and initially through the Secretary of State's office. But what we believe needs to happen is that Mike Pompeo needs to get confirmed quickly, and we can we have a good relationship. When he was in Congress, again, when he was CIA director, there's not as much direct working relationship there when you're an organization like the ACLJ from the legal standpoint. But when in Congress he was, now that he's going to be back in that kind of role, which I think is very good for the American people internationally and with our foreign policy, working with him to have someone assigned. Obviously, the Secretary of State's got to work on a lot of issues. But to assign a top deputy who can speak on behalf of the U.S. government confidently and work directly with the Secretary of State, who then reports directly to the President of the United States, and can get around some of the bureaucratic red tape because they are top-level appointees. These appointees, though, let me go to Thanh Binh in Washington, D.C. Thanh, they have to go through confirmation. Even though Mike Pompeo was confirmed to be CIA director, he got Democrat support, which is somewhat unusual these days. They do believe he's got to go through the confirmation again because different committees in the Senate. And then those deputies have to go through confirmation.
That's right. And I don't think, requiring another confirmation vote is inappropriate. I think it's a different spot, a different committee of jurisdiction. But what I do think is inappropriate, Jordan, is to needlessly delay this process. Remember, Mike Pompeo gave thorough testimony both in public and in a classified setting just a matter of months ago for his recent post. So, Jordan, if there are senators out there who either don't know who Mike Pompeo is or don't know what is required out of a Secretary of State or what they want out of a Secretary of State, then, Jordan, they haven't been doing their job. So asking them to sit for a hearing, I would say next week, and then have a committee vote and a floor vote during the month of April, I don't think that is unreasonable at all. In fact, I would argue the United States is in a vulnerable place without their top diplomat if they're going to needlessly delay it.
Yeah, I mean, and we agree with this. Let me take a phone call because we've got specific calls coming in on Pastor Brunson. We have engaged this through the grassroots work, and so people want to know how they can kind of get involved. Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to Andy, who's calling in Texas on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thank you. My question, and you've already thoroughly covered it, is there truly nothing the Trump administration and Nikki Haley can do? And yes, is there anything on the grassroots level, petitions or whatnot, that can be done to help?
Yeah, so we've worked on the petitions, Be Heard Project, and through ACLJ.org, that is there. We have been just at the United Nations in last week, and Pastor Brunson's daughter spoke at the United Nations because of our NGO status there at the European Center for Law and Justice. Now that there's this vacancy at the State Department, what you could see, obviously, you can have your UN ambassador working this from the ambassador standpoint. The White House can take a more direct role, and the vice president's office can take a more direct role. That is what we probably have to see until Congress Director Pompeo from the CIA is confirmed at the State Department, gets his deputies in place. Logan, tell people how to get involved in the show.
That's right. Phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, we're going to play an exclusive video coming up. We do have some phone lines open, so this would be a great time to call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
On the broadcast today, we have focused on the House committee, which has issued their summary of what will be a much longer report concluding their investigation into Russia's involvement in the election processes. As we have kind of seen reported, no evidence at all of collusion between specifically the Trump campaign and Russia. And at the same time, we know Russia was operating, whether it was through state-sanctioned activities, those troll farms, using social media, the cyber attacks. But what this report will focus on is that the Obama administration did not do much to combat that. And so there was kind of this lackluster response. It was not made so public to the American people as a major issue. And I have to wonder if that's because when they did their research into it, it was not a major factor. And then they've tried to make it into a political issue, obviously, and I think a hurdle for this administration and a major distraction that it has been so far for the administration. But the issues are moving forward, and I want to go right into one of those, which is a case we're directly involved in. Pastor Andrew Brunson, we're going to put this update for you at aclj.org. Pastor Brunson is an American pastor who has been first detained in Turkey, and then was going to be deported, which is one issue, which, again, he's not a Turkish citizen. He's an American citizen. So they cannot renew visas, though he has worked there. And it's been 23 years of his life in ministry there, raised his family there as well. His children grew up in Turkey. But instead of deporting him, he was then transferred to an actual prison facility with charges supposedly coming against him. But this is not like the United States. So this was started in October 7th. And just yesterday, the prosecutor in Turkey at the local level has filed his indictment with the court. So you don't get the speedy trial and those kind of what we're used to seeing in the United States or maybe in other parts of the Western world where you get the charges brought against you and you know what you're facing. And you know, again, this is much more political. The court system has been completely taken over in Turkey since that quote-unquote failed coup and the Erdogan government there. We can get into a lot of specific issues, but what we now know is that the charges have been filed. They carry up to a 35-year prison sentence. So very serious charges in a country which is not supposed to be as difficult to work with as other countries where we've handled situations like this. Like in Iran, where we don't have the U.S. does not have the diplomatic, same kind of diplomatic relationships, or North Korea, or even countries where the U.S. is involved, even places where we have office. So we have offices in places like Pakistan and in Russia, and we don't see, again, we could see kind of more direct action there through court systems. This has become a major political issue. We're bringing Colonel Wes Smith from our senior military analysis, because this is the key point, Wes, is that the Turkey is a military ally of the United States. This is not a kind of middle-of-the-road country. It's not one we sometimes work with. They are part of NATO, and but we have seen this change that we believe Pastor Brunson was caught up in, because, as we said, he served 23 years there without issue, and then all this kind of starting in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation. You're correct. Turkey has been an ally for a long time. They've been a member of NATO for a long time, and yet it is the only NATO ally, the only NATO country presently, where essentially, Jordan, there is no rule of law. And there was until Erdogan, reacted to the so-called failed coup a couple of years ago. He has become very paranoid. He took most of his senior military leadership. Many of those military leaders were trained in the United States. That's how close this allied relationship has been. He executed some of them. Others have been put in prison. Others simply kicked out of the military. He's arrested journalists. He has really overreacted to this alleged coup, and Pastor Brunson got caught up in that. But they're a NATO ally who is becoming a very unreliable NATO ally, not only with arresting people on false charges like Pastor Brunson, but attacking U.S. backed forces on the border with Turkey and Syria. Syria, has the civil war going on, and the Kurds have been our chief allies there in defeating ISIS. And yet there are two distinct groups of Kurds. One is the PKK, which is a terrorist group. The other is the YPG, which is part of the Syrian Democratic Forces. But to Turkey, all Kurds are the same. So that just in the last few weeks, in addition to all of the human rights abuses and the abolishment of the rule of law in Turkey that's been going on for 18 months, just in the last few weeks, Turkey has launched a major military campaign against U.S.-backed forces on the border with Syria and Turkey. And now, just in the last few days, Turkey is threatening to expel all U.S. Air Force personnel from Incirlik Air Force Base. We have had troops at Incirlik Air Force Base for decades. It is one of our key bases in the Middle East. The sorties in which we fly against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other groups, they fly out of that Turkish air base. And the threat of Erdogan shutting down Incirlik Air Base and getting rid of the U.S. from that base is being taken so seriously that already the United States Air Force has started moving some of their planes and some of their assets out of the base. So it is a very, very tense relationship. Erdogan is his country is still allied. They're NATO connected to us. Erdogan himself has not been an ally in the last 18 months to the United States, and that's very sad for the Turkish people. It's sad for the United States, and it's sad for people like Pastor Brunson and hundreds of others who have been wrongly imprisoned.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting situation. I remember I was in Turkey a few years ago. This was as ISIS was on the rise, and there was some coordination there because Turkey was very concerned about how the refugee flow, millions of people who have come across their border, and the effect that ISIS was having there. But at the same time, you've had a Turkish president who has embraced a more Islamist political movement, which in Turkey, I mean, these things were banned because I think the former leaders of Turkey realized when you start mixing Islam and politics, you can get into some very dangerous situations. So because of that, they were a standout in the Muslim world and seen, they were seen very differently as a member of NATO, as a military direct ally with the United States and the Western world. But the Turkish president has taken this issue upon himself. This is not going to be a name that's as well known to the U.S. audience if you're not following this a lot. But domestically in Turkey, this would be something that everyone knows about. So the president of Turkey, President Erdogan, has demanded the return of a cleric who is in the United States, who is Turkish, Fethullah Gulen, who would basically could face execution if sent back to Turkey, even though Turkey does not have the death penalty right now. I mean, this would be a very dangerous situation for him. And also not at all. I mean, this is not like a swap for spies issue. I mean, we have someone wrongfully imprisoned because of their Christian faith and now facing a 35-year prison sentence. So this is a very serious situation now that has gotten more confirmed on paper. And when I look at these situations, what we know, Than, is that when they move from just kind of the general imprisoning you, and there is a more I think that, again, the charges aren't against you, so there's more flexibility. When the charges come, you basically would have to see, in a place like Turkey, the executive stand right in. That would take pressure from the U.S. directly, but probably more so that just the pressure's been there. It's going to take a major diplomatic effort.
Well, that demand just makes it overtly political, Jordan. And so you would need the political apparatus in the United States, led by the president and directed through the Secretary of State, who now, you know, we're going to have a vacancy, to engage that on a political level. And I would just layer this on top of the, you know, sort of the military and national security concerns that Wes mentioned. On the diplomatic level, Jordan, if you're talking about advocating with an ally, typically you would have things like access to the file. You would be able to see the evidence. You would have private consultation with the citizen who's being charged. None of that has taken place here. So, Jordan, on a very rudimentary diplomatic level, the Secretary of State and his deputies would go in and say, look, you have to at least allow him private consultation with his attorney to look at the evidence or prepare a defense. Those kind of machinations on a diplomatic level are going to be difficult to happen. And if you don't have a Secretary of State, so yes, the president's been very strong on this, but he has to be able to send his lead diplomat to make those negotiations. Jordan, that's going to break down if that vacancy is not filled expeditiously.
All right, we're headed into the last segment of the day, and this is usually where we try to take as many calls and comments as possible. So we're compiling some of your comments from social media. That's at facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter and Periscope at Jordan Seculo. You can tweet us your questions or comments right now as well. And you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Again, have your voice heard today.
And we've got our matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. You're able to support the ACLJ financially. Your donation is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I want to focus in our final segment today on the situation in Turkey, because I think it ties directly into what we've seen with, and we know it directly ties into the change we're going to see at the State Department, but changes that have to go through Senate confirmation yet again. And though I think that a lot of people are assuming that the director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, is going to, because he's been confirmed already for that position, that it's kind of a done deal. We're starting to see the Senate, again, depending on how partisan Democrats decide to make this, and they will decide that in their own caucus in the U.S. Senate. But then we're starting to see, I mean, just to update people on the State Department, already the margins are shrinking. And so this is going to be, it's going to be a confirmation battle, as we know that all of these positions have been in the Senate for the Trump administration.
Well, I think you start from an understanding that Mike Pompeo got 66 votes the last time around, including 14 Democrats. You have had a couple of changes since then. Of course, the race in Alabama, which reduced the Republican majority by one. And then also, Jordan, John McCain has been absent for this year. So it functionally takes the majority down to 50-49 for the Republicans, unless John McCain can show up. Now, we do have a report out that Rand Paul is saying he is going to again vote against Mike Pompeo. And I don't want to just push past that, because look, the reason he voted against Mike Pompeo the first time around, he said, was because of surveillance and enhanced interrogation. That's really not that relevant for the Secretary of State position. So in my view, his announcing his opposition is premature. But let's just say he does oppose. If every Democrat then opposed Mike Pompeo, the Republicans could only get to 49. But again, Jordan, I think it's important to remind people at the close of this conversation, 14 of those Democrats just a few months ago voted for Mike Pompeo to be the director of the CIA. So if they were to oppose him now, that would be nothing short of a flip-flop.
And so, and now what we're seeing, too, on this situation, we tie this directly in. There's obviously major issues that are going to face the U.S. diplomatically. North Korea and Syria and Russia, specifically what we've seen in the U.K., and also in a case that we're directly involved in, which has taken a turn for the worst in the last 24 hours. And that's the case of American pastor Andrew Brunson. Just to update people, and again, because we have people join the broadcast throughout the show, this is an American pastor who was detained in Turkey after spending 23 years there as a Christian pastor, not hiding that at all, not having issues with the Turkish government in a majority Muslim country, where 90-plus percent of the country identifies as Islamic. October 7th of 2016 is detained to be deported, which was not as shocking when we've seen kind of these moves by the Turkish president and the current administration running the executive branch and really all the branches of government in Turkey. But instead of just deporting someone who is an American citizen, they decided to transfer him to a prison facility from a deportation facility. And then he's been waiting to see what are the charges against him. And so in the last 24 hours, the charges have been made public by the prosecutor there. The charges carry up to 35 years in prison, so very serious. They have to be approved by a court. So it's a process where prosecutors bring the charges to the court. The court then approves or disapproves of those charges moving forward, and then the case would come about. But we know, I mean, ultimately, this is one that has got to be handled diplomatically. You do not want to rely on the Turkish court system right now, because, Wes, as you pointed out, like the military has been kind of purged in Turkey, so has the legal system. The judges, yes, have been purged. So these are allies of the president of Turkey, which means they're not an independent judiciary. So you can't put a lot of faith into them kind of determining this on their own. They're going to take their take the lead from the president.
They are. And even those judges who weren't purged, as well as prosecutors who weren't purged, those who kept their jobs live under this threat of Erdogan's government coming down on them if they don't toe the party line. So there's really not the rule of law and a judicial system like they had a mere 2 years ago in Turkey. You mentioned Mike Pompeo. He is certainly a friend to ACLJ, and I think he'll be a great Secretary of State. But I hope that, in light of what Than said, that the Senate does really quickly confirm him. My main reason for that is that there are so many things going on in the world, and we need leadership, whether it's North Korea, we've got negotiations coming up, the situation in Turkey, the situation with Russia, Syria. We can't afford to have a long-term absence of a Secretary of State, so I hope that they will look at that. And certainly I think that would bode well for Pastor Brunson as well, because even though the former Secretary of State's administration helped us some with Pastor Brunson, I don't think it was as much of a priority with them as it will be with Mike Pompeo.
Terry asked on Facebook another question about Mike Pompeo and his confirmation. Said, I don't understand why he needs to be confirmed again when it seemed like he was already confirmed for his position now.
Yeah, so I mean, you would assume that it would not be difficult, because if you're already confirmed by a Senate, which has had some changes, stand well through. But then, just to explain this to the people, the process is it's a different committee that ultimately would handle the hearings that take place, where we see the questions back and forth between these nominees. And because it's a different committee, the belief is that you've got to go through the confirmation process again, and that's where it appears the Senate has decided to make that move. And so it's really up to them on speed, but it's up to Republicans on how fast they want to get this done. Let's not forget that.
Right. The first time around, he went before the Senate Intelligence Committee, both in public setting and behind closed doors, to deliver testimony, and then was ultimately reported to the floor. Now he has to go to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I will say one thing of note there, Jordan. He doesn't have to be approved by the Foreign Relations Committee. He simply has to be considered and then reported out. So let's say that Senator Rand Paul chose to vote against him in committee, and there were actually 11 votes against him and only 10 in favor. He would still be reported to the floor and would still be eligible for a full vote on the floor of the Senate. Here is my argument. I don't argue against him having to go through the process again. I do vehemently argue against that being a drawn out, delayed process. And for this reason, he is a very well-known entity to all of these senators. They have all cast a very recent vote on him. And Jordan, they have all cast a very recent vote for a Secretary of State nominee. Those are the two rubrics that they should be looking through to consider his nomination. So I don't think there's any justification for delaying this until the middle of May, which, quite frankly, the timeline that was sort of alluded to by the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, that's a Republican, Bob Corker from Tennessee, that would push this nomination into May. I do not think that is acceptable.
All right, 1-800-684-3012. We got a minute left here on the broadcast. I want you to do this. On ACLJ.org, we're going to have the report up on Pastor Brunson. People have asked what they can do. How do they get this? I think one of the issues here, we are not dealing with the past administration where it's so hard to get the attention and the direct working relationship. So it's not that situation. But I do believe what you could do is share that with your friends and family to get people updated on this, get people praying about this situation, and also that activism at the church level, that the Christian community really speaks up on this issue as well and gets informed on it. So that's going to be – that new update is going to be posted to ACLJ.org. Serious charges filed against American pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. We will update you again with the specifics on that at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, make sure you download the ACLJ app, subscribe to the JSEC ELI podcast. Someone asked how they can get the first half hour if they missed part of the show. You can find all that at ACLJ.org. It's a great way to stay involved and support the work that we do here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.